26 years ago at Christmas, Debbie and I were the proud parents of a baby boy, our third son, Joshua. And like every parent, proud parent, we wanted to announce his arrival, right? Interesting thing about baby announcements, even when you know whether it's a boy or a girl beforehand, like you can nowadays, you wait to announce it. Part of that reason is because you have to choose a name. And names are important, aren't they? I have two books of baby names. One has 3,000 names and the other has 8,000 names. And it tells what they mean and a little bit about it. Because normally you name someone either after somebody else or kind of what the name means. Well, Christmas Eve, we celebrate the announcement of the birth of Jesus. Well, what was God's baby announcement? Well, he announced his birth to the shepherds by an angel. Started out with one angel and then a whole choir full of angels. We looked at that on Sunday. But actually, God had announced the birth of this baby many, many years before. We want to look at that just briefly tonight. 700 plus years before Jesus was born, God gives us the announcement. Who this baby is. And really, in two ways, that is the name of Jesus, who he is, but also what does that mean to us? Well, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah was a prophet, prophesied 700 or so years before Christ was born, and lots of different prophecies about Jesus. Isaiah was the one that said, a virgin will give birth to a son. The one we want to look at tonight is just one verse, Isaiah 9, verse 6, and we already heard it in the opening song. It says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. Okay, what's he going to be called? What's his name? Singular, even though there's four kind of names given here. There's just one person. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's look at that. I've entitled it, What Child Is This? Right? The shepherds hurry off and find baby Jesus in a manger. Simeon, after Jesus was born, meet Joseph and Mary at church on a Sunday in the temple and kind of wonder, well, what child is this? Maybe you have a manger scene at your home that you put out every year. And there's baby Jesus in the manger. And you wonder, well, what kind of child is this? Well, Isaiah is going to tell us. It's interesting that this is no ordinary child. Of course, we know that. He's man. That is, he's human. He'll grow up to be a man. He says a child is born. He takes on human flesh and blood. He experiences the things that we experience. But he's also God, because to us, a son is given. I think Isaiah is very particular. He wants to get it right, because he wants us to get it right. Not a son is born. He's already been born. He's given. Jesus was not born a son. He was already the son. The eternal Son of God. So this baby is both human and God. Fully God, fully human. What's that like? What's that going to be? Well, he tells us, pretty profound. He's a wonderful counselor. Now, not every person is qualified to counsel. In fact, it's against the law to advertise your services as a professional counselor unless you're qualified. Well, Jesus is qualified as a wonderful counselor. Some of us really need that this year, don't we? Maybe there's relationships that we need some wisdom and counsel on. Maybe our finances are tough. Maybe we're not sure. We're a little bit nervous about 2020 and going to end and 2021, and we need some counsel. And what do you look for in a wonderful counselor? Well, someone who will listen. Someone who has some knowledge and wisdom and experience. Someone who's not going to just protect us from the challenges of life, but prepare us for the challenges of life. Someone who can encourage us and believe the best in us, and who loves us and knows us and prays for us. That's this wonderful counselor. He gives perfect advice, and his motives are always pure. He always wants the best for us. It's profound. He's a wonderful counselor. But then it goes on and says this baby is going to grow up to be powerful. He's a mighty God. Think of how Christ's power was revealed right from the very beginning. Right? A virgin birth. Getting the parents to Bethlehem so that he could be born in Bethlehem. Protected from Herod and the soldiers who were trying to kill him. Guides wise men from the east to come and give gifts. Right from the very beginning, we realize this is a mighty God. But then, of course, that baby grows up, doesn't he? And he lives a life that shows us he's mighty God. He forgives sins. He heals sicknesses and diseases. He does miracles. He changes lives. He's a mighty God. Do you need God's strength this Christmas? I don't know what challenges you're going through necessarily. Maybe some health things. Maybe financially. Maybe relationally. Socially, you know, Christmas time can be kind of stressful sometimes, even when we're with people that we love, our family and friends, but sometimes it's difficult and we need God's power. Or maybe just spiritually, we realize that salvation is not just something that God starts and then leaves us to figure it all out. No, God continues to work in our life. It's God's work from start to finish. And even when we're weak, he can turn our weakness into strength because he's a wonderful counselor. He's mighty God. He's an everlasting Father. Jesus is eternal. He's everlasting. Now, there's a little bit of a mystery here. How is it that he is the Son and the Father at the same time? Well, if I could totally explain that, that would be really good. But it's a bit of a mystery because all three persons of the Trinity, right, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, are separate, distinct, not three gods, but just one. But they're three persons, but they're all equally God. I think part of the answer of this is that Father also means author, originator, source. Jesus is the originator of eternity. God doesn't have a beginning or an end. Now, we have a beginning, of course, right? But then we live on forever, either eternally with God or eternally separated from God in darkness. And so when we give our lives to Jesus, we become part of eternity. But it's also very personal because he's a father. Jesus was the one that taught us we should pray, "Our Father." But that's how we should address God and think of God. Not a distant, kind of far away sort of relationship, but an up close, personal, family kind of relationship. He's your father. We can pray that way. We can deal with him that way. We can relate because he relates to us that way. Here's how 2 Corinthians 1, 3 says it. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." So he's the Father of physical life, he's the sustainer of spiritual life, and he's the giver of eternal life. What child is this? He's a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He's an everlasting Father. One more. He's the Prince of Peace. Perhaps you know the Hebrew word for peace, shalom. Even today, Jewish people kind of can use that as a greeting. And it has very little to do with sort of what's going on the outside, sort of external, like no conflict, things are great. Doesn't really mean that because, frankly, if you look at the world and down through history, that kind of peace on earth, we haven't really experienced a lot, even today. It doesn't talk too much about what's going on the outside, but it talks a great deal about what's going on the inside. And the Bible, when it talks about peace, talks about it in two major ways. First is peace with God. Sometimes we even use that expression. Have you made your peace with God? What does that mean? That is, in terms of your eternal relationship with God the Father, are you at peace? Have things been settled? Well, how can we know that? Well, it's because of Jesus. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ." That's how we find peace. The peace of God. When the angels sang to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men." Centuries ago, Augustine said it well, "Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." Okay, so that's our eternal destiny, but what about our daily life here on earth? The Prince of Peace gives us not only peace with God, but here's the second major way the Bible talks about it, the peace of God. That is when you and I give our lives to Jesus and we let him reign, the government will be on his shoulders. He will govern, he will lead, he will be the Lord. When we do that, we experience the peace of God. Philippians 4:6-7, I'll paraphrase, says, "Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. When you do, here's the promise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think especially these days, that's the kind of peace we need, don't we? The peace of God, that no matter what's going on the outside or how we're feeling on the inside, we can have the peace of God. And the Prince of Peace wants to give that. So here we are at Christmas Eve. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. God didn't want us to miss it. And so he told us over and over. We've looked at the New Testament, but before that, in the Old Testament, centuries before Jesus even showed up, he gave us truths and promises about who this would be. What shall he be called? These wonderful things. If this were a normal year and things were open, you could go to the theater. Now, not the, well, the movie theater would be open, but the, like on stage theater. And part of the Christmas tradition, sort of a fixture, you could go to a musical called Handel's Messiah. George Frederick Handel wrote his oratory in 1741. That's before we were a country. And it includes, if you know that piece, or maybe you didn't know it was from there, it includes our verse today. I won't sing the whole thing, but it, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And they sing it over and over. And that's our verse, Isaiah. Later on in that musical oratory is the Hallelujah Chorus. And when this whole thing debuted opening night in London, the king was there, King George of England. And when it got to that place where they sing Hallelujah, 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 and he shall reign forever, and it's very majestic and moving, the king stood up in honor of Jesus. Well, when the king stands up, everybody stands up. In fact, if you've ever been to Handel's Messiah, and we still do that today, don't we? You just stand up. Because you're so moved, and acknowledge, they're talking about Jesus, who came at Christmas. At the end of his manuscript, Handel wrote, Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone all glory. That's why he wrote what he wrote. And we enjoy that today. And so may our Christmas, may the Christ of Christmas be our focus today and tomorrow and every day to the glory of God. Amen and Merry Christmas. So let's stand and sing a closing song that helps us do that. Emmanuel, about God with us.